My guest at this time is Mike Hammond, Legislative Director at Gun Owners of America, which can be found at gunowners.org. Mike joined us shortly after the high school shooting in Florida this month to offer his thoughts as the gun debate started ramping up at that time. Almost 2 weeks later, we want to get his reaction to proposals from Republicans and Democrats for preventing mass shootings, at least in terms of how they're approaching gun laws. And Mike, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the House Democrats, about 150-plus of them now, have come around legislation by Rhode Island Democratic Congressman David Cicilline, and he is basically going after most semi-automatic firearms, saying any semi-automatic weapon with a detachable magazine ought to be banned, as well as any weapon that can hold more than 10 rounds. So just how sweeping of a gun ban would this be?
Yeah, it's completely sweeping. Well, first of all, I mean, let's review the bidding. You start out with a shooter who was motivated by wall-to-wall media coverage of previous shooters. Apparently, he was an Adderall kid. He walked into a school that was unable to defend itself, apparently because he knew that no one would fire back. The FBI ignored credible complaints. The local sheriff's deputies just huddled outside of the school, apparently in fright. And the guy was addicted to video games, and 39 visits to his house failed to produce any red flags. And the kids, who now say they knew, quote unquote, he was going to shoot up the school, nevertheless failed to do anything about it while there was still time to do anything about it. So in all of this tableau, all of a sudden, the liberals have decided the problem is guns. And, you know, as to be expected, I think it's Rahm Emanuel who said, don't let any crisis go to waste. And the left is very good at taking horrific tragedies and exploiting them for political goals. And the semi-auto ban, of course, is their wish list, is their dream achievement, because it would take guns, which basically don't have the kinetic capacity of shotguns. They don't have any more of a clip capacity than many other rifles and handguns, and yet they are demonized because of cosmetic features that make them look like something else. And also, they're demonized by this false narrative that they're somehow a military rifle. I was in the military. I was issued a fully automatic M16. I wouldn't go into battle with a semi-automatic firearm. So the exercise is to use fraud in order to ban the most popular gun in America.
Well, let's talk about this a little bit deeper. You're referring to the AR-15, but let's even broaden it out to semi-automatic weapons, because the argument, of course, from the pro-gun control side is that these are unnecessary. These, like you mentioned, they describe them as weapons of war, and it goes beyond what mainstream pro-gun people think. Give us the numbers a little bit. How many semi-automatic weapons are out there, and what percentage of the guns that are out there do they make up?
Well, there's about 300 million guns which are in circulation in America. Of those, there are about probably 10 million AR-15s, the most popular gun in the country. I would guess that if you added other semi-automatic rifles like AK-47s, you'd probably have 20 million of the households. And if you start adding semi-automatic handguns, who knows where you are? 50 million, 100 million. Basically, you're taking off the market a substantial portion of the guns which are in private hands in the United States. Now, they're not weapons of war. As I said, no soldier would go to war with a semi-automatic firearm. This is just the use of fraudulent technology in order to scare people into thinking something which is just inaccurate.
But it's often said by folks on the pro-gun control side, well, why would you need this? What do you say?
Well, let me give you one example. During the Rodney King riots in Los Angeles, people were burning down their entire neighborhood. Embedded in that neighborhood was a bunch of Korean grocery stores, and the Koreans lived over there over there, grocery stores, and that's where their families lived. They stood on the roof of their grocery stores using showing their nasty semi-automatic firearms so anyone who wanted to burn down their store and their home could see it. And as a result of that, they saved their lives. They saved the lives of their families. They saved their homes. They saved their stores. So tell that to those Koreans that they didn't need a semi-automatic firearm in order to save their own lives.
Let's talk about some of the ideas that Republicans are throwing out there, which some Democrats support as well. Florida Governor Rick Scott, for example, went to the podium last week and supported raising the minimum age to buy a rifle to 21 years old. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah. Do you want to know a secret?
Sure.
Basically, the press is universally misreporting this. The law states, and it's 18 U.S.C. 922b1, what the law states is if you're under 21 years of age, you can't buy a handgun from a dealer. And if you're under 18, you can't buy a rifle from a dealer. Now, we fought the issue of whether you could own a semi-automatic if you were under 21. We fought that out after Columbine in 1999-2000, and Congress decided that it was not going to change the law. Now, if we were to take that 21 years of age figure and apply it across the board, guess what? It wouldn't solve a single thing. The next day, the gun controllers would be back to us and saying, yeah, well, sure, they can't buy from semi-autos from dealers, but now we need to ban their purchase from gun shows. Now we need to ban their purchase on the internet. Now we need to enact the sort of universal background checks which Congress considered and rejected in 2013 after Newtown. So changing the 18 to 21 wouldn't solve a thing. What it would do is just open up a whole bunch of trap doors for the gun controllers to come and make a series of successive demands, claiming that what we did accomplished nothing.
We're talking with Mike Hammond of Gun Owners of America. And Mike, you mentioned in passing there in that previous response that in the wake of Newtown, there was an effort, particularly on the Senate side of Capitol Hill, the Toomey Manchin legislation to be specific, for expanded background checks. We hear that again now in the wake of Parkland. What exactly do they mean when they're talking about expanded background checks?
Well, they mean that you can't buy a gun anywhere in America unless the government approves the sale. When the Brady Law was enacted, there was this grand bargain which was made saying we'll regulate dealer purchases, but we won't try to regulate every gun in America, and specifically we won't try to regulate purchases between private individuals. During a lot of the year, live in my home in the state of New Hampshire. New Hampshire has a lot of wilderness area, and what it would mean to require the government's approval for a private purchase is that if you live in Colebrook or live in Clarksville and you wanted to sell your gun to your next-door neighbor, you can do that. But if we had universal background checks, you would have to drive into Berlin, maybe a 100, 200 miles round trip. You'd have to go to a dealer. You'd have to pay him money, and he can determine whether that's $50, $100, or $1,000. You have to pay him money to conduct a background check. And if, as is the case in 8% of all purchases, you get a yellow, that is, the government has no idea whether he's disqualified or not from owning a firearm, basically your ability to transfer that gun to your next-door neighbor shot. There's one more thing, and that is this. If currently the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms is going around in connection with this annual inspection and photographing gun records. And we suspect that's making those photographs into the beginnings of a national gun registry. If everyone has to sell their gun through a dealer, that means every transaction has one of those gun records, and that means everyone is going to be in that universal gun registry.
Mike, we'll be watching. Thank you, sir, as always, for your time.
Thank you so much.
Mike Hammond is the legislative director at Gun Owners of America. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.